At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Let's talk.
John Brown. It's a time when we get our friends from Spence Clark in. And if you've got a question relating to the Spanish tax system that you want to throw at us, we'll see if we can answer it to the best of our abilities, or they can, because I've got absolutely not a clue, as you know. But here we go.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And those are the numbers to contact us in. And I'm joined once again by Javier. Javier, good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone.
Good to have you. I'm very well. And you're looking very, were you celebrating the women's Euros last night? Did you watch it?
Not really. Okay. I have 2 kids. I don't have much time for
okay,
that.
Okay, fair enough. And you, once again, we have a newbie in the studio.
A new lamb.
A new lamb. So bring to the slaughter. I'm not that bad. Good morning, Madeline. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm sitting here. It's almost the weekend. It could be worse. And you're getting old when the accountants are getting younger. Forget the policeman. I'm feeling like, Balthazar or something like that. So what are we talking about today, team?
Well, it's about why Spain could be attractive for expats.
Right. From a tax perspective.
Right.
Yeah, I mean obviously there's sunshine, lifestyle. Should we mention the food? But also, we had some fantastic meal last night. But also, I believe there are other advantages to moving to Spain.
Well, if that's not enough, and if you are still hesitating about moving to Spain, we can talk about taxes, because not always they are that bad, as Spain might surprise you sometimes. Let's say, especially for pensioners coming over to retire to Spain with their different kinds of foreign pensions and other financial products, Spain can result very attractive indeed. This is particularly relevant for those with private pension schemes,
right,
as foreign private pensions are not treated as standard pensions under the Spanish tax law. In fact, these can be treated as investment products. By this will be subject to saving tax rates, because this will be treated as investments, being taxed not only on the actual growth or income element instead of the entire amount you take out from the pension on a yearly basis, but a saving tax rate, which is, of course, significantly lower than the general tax rate.
So the foreign pension is treated as an investment then?
It depends on the pension, but yes, you can consider so.
And what are the beneficial tax treatments then?
Yeah, we also have, apart from the private pensions, we also have the annuities,
right,
which in Spain are again treated very favorably, both temporary and lifetime ones.
Yeah.
Purchasing an annuity with the funds from a private pension scheme can be very attractive. For one, it makes the whole process of preparing the income tax declaration more simple. And secondly, only a fixed percentage of the annual amount received will be considered as taxable in Spain.
For those of us who maybe don't get as up to au fait with investment terms or annuities, just explain just briefly what an annuity is.
An annuity is a product that you contract with a company that is like an insurance company, whereby you invest like a plot into the pension, and that guarantees you a payment for life.
Okay.
Or if that's a lifetime annuity, or for a fixed period of the year. You can say 5 years, 3 years. So depending on that duration, the Spanish tax system has set up some fixed percentage that will be subject to taxation in Spain. Okay. That's why lifetime annuities could be also relevant and tax efficient.
Okay. This, I know what my listeners are like, and they'll be thinking, what about my pension? You know, does it count? This is my pension. Does it count as a private investment? I mean, what should the listeners be looking out for?
Okay, well, indeed. I think, first of all, I think we should go over the main pensions or products in the different tax treatments.
Right.
Okay. I know we've done this in the past, but it's always good to refresh the memory.
Yeah, okay.
So, first of all, and this is the same for most countries, state pensions paid by a country's social security system are straightforward. They're taxed as pensions and at the general tax rate.
Okay.
The same goes for occupational or work-related pensions. There's government pensions, on the other hand, which are paid for a formal civil servant. These are in most cases exempt from taxation in Spain and considered only to calculate the applicable tax rate for the remaining income.
Okay.
Yeah. Annuities, as Javier just explained, will only be taxed on based on a percentage. So now for the interesting part that everybody's asking about, private pensions, okay?
Yeah.
So the main criterion that applies in Spain would be, is the pension contracted or provided by an employer, or was it contracted by a person, say an employee or not?
Right.
Okay. So in the UK, for example, most commonly expats, apart from state and work-related pensions, will have other products such as SIPs, QROPs, and others, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
When these are strictly private, such as on the SIPs or the QROPs, these might not be treated as a pension for Spanish tax purposes, and therefore they'll have the beneficial treatment that we were speaking about before.
Okay, so thank you for explaining that. What about for, you know, listeners from other countries? Because we all tend to talk about the Brits. So, I mean, are there pension situations similar?
Yeah, we have many US clients coming to Spain lately. They come as inquiring about their 401ks, IRAs, Roth IRAs, amongst other products. Although there isn't much specific legislation in Spain covering this, there is a particular binding consultation from the Spanish tax office. A binding consultation is a query that someone can send to the tax office
okay.
with a particular case, and then the tax office pronounces about that and gives a tax treatment based on the facts that you have described. This particular binding tax rule covers these US products, and the result is that the 401k and the traditional IRAs will be considered as general income, because in that binding rule, the facts were that they came from employment records, and whereas the Roth IRA will have the treatment of a financial product and therefore tax only on the withdrawals and in the income element or growth,
right?
Considering the remaining simple return of the capital and therefore not taxable. Additionally, this income will only be taxed at the savings rate, as we have discussed, and which is much lower. Of course, tax binding consultation cannot be generalized, but they provide an idea of how the tax office thinks about these kind of products.
Okay, that handles the sort of the American situation. What about the Canadian listeners?
Yeah, well, actually, our number of Canadian clients is constantly increasing in the last years. Other than old age pensions, these clients usually come to us with products like RRSPs, which are registered retirement savings plans, or TFSAs, tax-free savings accounts. The RRSPs are quite similar to the Spanish Plan de Jubilación, retirement plan, except that the scheme beneficiary has more to say in the investment policies of the RRSP. When the beneficiary draws funds from the scheme, taxable income arises, being taxed only on the income element or growth, and again at the desired lower tax rate.
Okay.
Savings rate, sorry. The Canadian TFSAs, on the other hand, they're not considered as a sole financial product, and therefore they receive the tax treatment of a portfolio of investments. Although this tax treatment can actually result in a lower tax payable amount,
right,
itemising the different elements to be declared, such as interest, dividends and capital gains transactions, can be quite tedious to obtain and also costly in fees, especially for the purpose of the M720.
Right.
This is, of course, all in general terms, and we'd always recommend seeking specific tax advice, ideally before becoming a Spanish tax resident, just to allow you for any necessary changes. Like, as always, planning ahead can save you a lot of hassle down the line.
Yeah, in all the years we've been doing this, it seems to be the thing. It's like, do your research before you come, because otherwise, and especially with that last thing, because it's not going to be one lump sum, it's the actual individual elements that make up the portfolio. Yeah,
exactly.
Right. You could be there. So how does this translate into numbers, roughly?
Well, let's say that for you, you have your £4 million pension, Giles, in the UK.
Absolutely.
But you only want to withdraw 40,000 euros a year. So if it's strictly treated as a pension by the Spanish tax rules, this will be taxed as general income, like the state pension, work-related one, etc. This will mean a tax payable of 8,500 euros. However, if let's say that we consider this pension as strictly private, in this particular case, the growth of the pension is half. This means that on the contributions you put, let's say £2 million in your case, now the value of the pension is £4 million. That means that it has doubled. So half of what it's in the pension is your own capital, and the other half will be the growth that has been accumulating over the years. So the tax liability on this same withdrawal of 40,000 euros will be 2,800,
okay,
which is a considerable tax saving. And finally, if we have received this same 40,000 euros in the form of a lifetime annuity that someone contracted when he was 65, only 24% of the withdrawal will be subject to tax, and this will mean a tax of 600 euros, which is even more beneficial. Having said that, of course, as Madeline has said, when applying these beneficial tax treatments, it's very important first to analyze the product properly, and also having the proper supporting documents from the investment managers to demonstrate that your products can be treated as such. Because this is, for example, being able to provide an historic of the contributions done to the plan, a detailed summary of how the funds have been invested, clearly differentiate the income element from the capital. We all know that the tax office in Spain loves paperwork.
Oh, yeah.
And the more you can provide, always the better.
Yeah, they'll get very excited, like, yes, we have even some more. Oh, Canadian pensions. Bring
Let's
it on.
Go for that,
So, okay, so we focus a lot on pensioners, and quite rightly too, but what about people sort of who are still working? Are there any perks? Is there anything interesting for them?
Yes, of course. So Spain also offers some very interesting benefits or options for some workers.
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, if you work for a foreign company and your work is carried out abroad, so not in Spain or in a tax haven, up to 60,100 euros per year of your salary could be exempt from tax. Okay.
Yeah.
On the other hand, if you move to Spain for a job, you might be eligible for the well-known Beckham Law. This is a special tax regime that could easily have its own radio episode, to be honest.
20 years or so since he played for Real Madrid, but the Beckham Law it's still there. It still keeps giving.
It's still there.
Exactly.
And it has become very famous since 2023. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of people are trying to apply for that. And there is also a lot of people who do this without the proper advice, I mean, and they face a lot of trouble afterwards. So
yeah. So just quickly, it's you're only taxed on
So you're only taxed on the Spanish source of income, and basically you're only taxed at a flat 24% on the first 600,000 euros. It goes up to 47% beyond that.
Right.
And from 2023, it also includes the 100% remote workers.
What are the 100% remote workers?
So this is the client, well, people that are moving to Spain with the non-lucrative visa generally to work for a foreign foreign company in Spain.
Yeah,
it's not the digital nomads, is it?
It's
the digital nomads.
It's kind of the digital nomad.
That's
the new one, and that's why it has become very, very famous.
Right.
It's someone, you are employed for a foreign company, and that foreign company, because you work with your computer, you can work from everywhere.
Yeah.
So you have a contract, you agree with them that you can work wherever you want.
Yeah.
That allows you to apply for the digital nomad visa in Spain. And that once you have the digital nomad visa, you are eligible for the Beckham Law. So, because people sometimes confuse, having the digital nomad visa means that you are in the Beckham Law. These are two, although these are connected, are different processes.
Yeah.
First, you obtain one, and then you go for the other.
Yeah. I actually know some friends of mine are coming over on the digital nomad, but we'll talk about that off air about that. But they're coming over on the digital nomad visa, and they're getting very excited about this because it actually works for them. And they're like, yes, you know,
absolutely,
you know. And they're coming over, and they're in film production, and they're coming over because they've had enough of London. And
yeah, and this especially works for employees. That's the key point. You have to be a proper employee of a foreign company, because if you own your own company and you work in the UK as a self-employee, because sometimes people just set up their own business in the UK, their own limited company, and they work for their own limited company that has no structure, no employees, no office, and they say, okay, I'm going to try to get the advantage of the Beckan and the Digital Nomad Visa for the Beckan. This can be inspected afterwards, and maybe after 3 years you have been accepted the Beckan in Skain, you get inspected by the tax office, and they say, okay, you are not properly in the Beckan, I'm going to charge tax on your worldwide income, apart from the salary, to general tax rates, also apply tax for wealth tax. So that's why I say that it's very important to get advice
before
doing anything.
Okay, so the other thing, this is social security contributions as relating to foreigners. They can be concerned about moving to... is it true that the social security contributions are lower than those in Spain?
They're
lower in Spain, sorry.
Lower in Spain. Yeah. This will depend on the country we are talking about.
Yeah.
In the UK, although the social security is lower, payable there, it doesn't have any top.
Right.
It does not have any cap where this is the maximum where you can pay social security. Spain has that, so on very high earners, maybe that will make a difference. But Americans, for example, will definitely find that their social security payment obligations will be lower in Spain, especially for self-employed individuals or small business owners. In the USA, as far as I understand, self-employed individuals pay around 15.3% tax, self-employment tax, which will cover both social security and Medicare in the USA.
Yeah.
In Spain, the system works kind of differently. There is a flat monthly social security contribution for self-employed workers, known as the autonomous system. And as of 2025, the contribution starts at around 230 euros per month, and then it adjusts gradually based on your annual income. But it has a beneficial treatment, a lower rate for the first 2 years. The first year in Spain as a self-employee, regardless how much you earn, you could be paying around 90 euros a month. So that's a good deal, especially because this contribution does not just secure your future old age pension. Well, if we get to get so, in, that's another discussion. It also covers your monthly Medicare in Spain, and not just for you, but for your entire family members who are economically dependent on you.
Yeah.
And as many people know, the Spanish public healthcare system is truly outstanding. So the savings only on the medical expenses will make working from Spain a very attractive option. For regular employees, however, the difference is not so noticeable, as the part paid by the employees almost the same. And finally, one interesting fact is that Spain maintains bilateral social security agreements with most European countries, and also others like the US, Canada, Australia, Argentina, Mexico, that will allow for the totalization of contribution periods in the different countries, ensuring that individuals are not penalized for splitting their work lives between different countries.
Okay. So you can, this is from my time in Mexico. So you can,
you could get something from that.
This is my time in Buenos Aires. Yes, I like that, yeah. So in theory, you could work in Spain for 10 years, self-employed, paying low social security, and then if you wanted to move back to the US, if you're an American citizen, before retirement, and the years from Spain, they would count towards the US Social Security pension, I've got that correct?
Yes, so that's correct. They would have to, of course, comply with whatever the requirements are in the US when reaching the retirement age.
Right.
It's also important to plan this ahead, as usual, because each country's social security contribution systems are very different, and the main country for receiving a pension would usually be the one where you are resident at the moment when you actually retire.
Yeah, and as we say, you may be familiar with this now. The key, as always, is to plan ahead.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and with the risk of repeating myself, always plan ahead and seek for good professional advice. Someone will say that procrastination is not your friend.
Aha! Yes, indeed. I mean, the other thing is, let us, ladies and gentlemen, professional advice, not somebody who, you know, who's been here for a while and thinks they knows about it all and the system. Because one thing that I've found since we've been doing this is this, the Spanish tax system and all the systems, they change. I mean, they really, it's not like it was, you know, when I first came to Spain whenever years ago, it was just like this, it was this block of stone. It was very easy. And now we have so many things, you know, the M720, the digital nomads, all, you know, the grandes fortunas, which is obviously my favorite of all. But, you know, and it keeps changing, and you need to have people who know what's going on. What, I mean, are there any sort of funny, sort of really, sort of juicy benefits for expats? I mean, apart from the sun, obviously, and, you know, everything.
Just to mention, from discussing with some American clients, they always mention that there is a difference in the property tax they pay between the two countries. In the USA, although this varies from one state to another, there maybe on an average, on a property of 500,000 euros, they will pay around 6,000 euros a year on property tax. Whereas in Spain, a similar property will have an associated property tax in the region of 2,200. So there is a saving there. And apart from that, the valuation for properties in Spain is set up by the council, which means normally it's lower than the market, the actual market price, and this will reduce again the tax. So Spain is not just about sunshine, good food, and beautiful landscapes, although those definitely
help,
of course.
Yeah.
It also offers a range of tax advantages that, with the right advice, can make a real difference. So moving to Spain can be both a lifestyle upgrade and a smart financial decision.
So if you, listeners, if you need any help with how facilitating that move, if you're moving from the West Coast to the East Coast, if you're moving from, I don't know, from Winnipeg or from British Columbia, or, I don't know, even Macclesfield, you're feeling the move that you need to make, how can they get in touch with you guys? What's the easiest way to get in touch with you guys?
Well, we have our website and the contact section. It's www.spain.com. Spenceclark.com, Spence with an E and Clark with an E. And also our phone office number, which is 5528225943.
Sorry, I say it again, though, because you got so, I think you coughed midway there, Javi, and got so carried away.
I think Madeline will have that better than me.
Come on, Madeline, sort it out.
It's 952822943.
And for those who don't listen, go and check out the Spence Clark webpage, because the blog is excellent. I mean, it really is written in language that even I can understand. And if I can understand the financial stuff, then it must be pretty much foolproof. Just give me that number one more time, please, Madeline.
Yes, so that's 952822943.
Right then. Okay, well, that's pretty much done and dusted for this month. Next month, hopefully, we'll have some very special guests on, so looking forward to that immensely. Well, I mean, once again, Javier, thank you, and Madeline, well done on the first time in here.
Thank you very much.
A pleasure, as always.